So we are in part two of our All Ears series, and we're just talking about being able to cut through the noise of everything so that we can hear God's voice. So last week we talked about having a prepared heart, how to prepare our hearts to hear God's voice. And so we talked about that God doesn't have a speaking problem, that sometimes we have a hearing problem, or we have a problem having ears to hear. So we talked about how to prepare our hearts to hear God's voice. So if you didn't get that, you can go back to YouTube or our website. But this is our theme verse for this series. It's John chapter 10, 3. And it says that the gatekeeper, that he opens the gate and the sheep listen to his voice. And it says that he calls his own sheep by name and that he leads them out. So we are living in days right now that we need God to lead us through our lives. And thank God that we have a God that knows our name. He knows exactly what's going on and what's happening to us. And so we need to be able to hear God's voice. So today we are in part two, and I want to talk for just a few minutes about a passage in the Old Testament, because it's been a passage that has encouraged me to just believe that God wants to speak to me specifically. And I want to talk about the idea that God does speak to us. Just the fact that he does speak to us today. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 3, in the beginning of the chapter, it says, "And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli." So a little bit of background on Samuel. Samuel's mom was a praying mom. Her name was Hannah. She was barren. She couldn't have children. And so she would go to the house of God and she would pray. And one day she was praying, and Eli, who was a priest, saw her praying, and he asked her, "So, you know, what's going on? What are you praying for?" And she said, "I'm praying for children. I'm believing God for children." So Eli said, "Okay, God's going to bless you, and you're going to have a child." And she was so excited that she said, "When God gives me a son, I'm going to bring him here to God's house, and I'm going to dedicate him to God, to the Lord." And a year later, she did have a son, and she brought Samuel to the house of God. And that's why Samuel was there in the presence of God with Eli, because he had a praying mom, a mom that believed the voice of God. And so for us parents, how important is it that we pray for our children, our grandchildren, our grown children? It puts them in an environment where they can actually value his voice. This is what happened with Samuel. And so Samuel is there in the temple with Eli. And the Bible says that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There wasn't a lot of visions. But one night, Eli, his eyes had become so weak that he got to a place where he could barely see. And he was lying down in his usual place. It was bedtime. And the lamp of the Lord hadn't yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. And so then the Lord calls Samuel, and Samuel answers, and he says, "Here I am." So Samuel is there. He's gone to bed in the temple. In the temple, there's this place called the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, the Word of the Lord was. That's where his presence was. You read about that through the Old Testament. It was a place where God spoke. And Eli was the priest over all this stuff. And this young boy, most scholars believe that Samuel was about 12 years old when this happened. And the Bible says that God Almighty, even though there weren't a lot of visions or words from the Lord, God speaks to this boy out loud and says, "Samuel," says his name. And Samuel hears this voice and he says, "Here I am." And watch this. He gets up and he goes to Eli. He says, "Here I am. You called me," and he thought it was Eli. And Eli wakes up and out of sleep, and he says, "Don't, you know, that wasn't me. Go back to bed." And so I know all of us parents can relate. And so he's like, "Just go back to bed. Stop waking me up." So Samuel goes, lays back down, and again, and I thank God for this word again, that again the Lord calls out to Samuel. And so Samuel gets up again, goes to Eli, says, "Here I am. You called me. You know, I heard you call me." And so Eli says, "My son, I did not call you. Stop waking me up. Go back to sleep. Go lay down." And so Samuel was still young. He was still learning. He hadn't figured everything out. He wasn't a professional priest or anything like that. He was still trying to sort out how God spoke. Is that God, or is that me, or what is that, Eli? What is it? And the Bible says that God called Samuel a third time. So he goes to Eli a third time and he says, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli realizes that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli tells Samuel, all right, look, go lay down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that is a really good place to highlight right there. It is one of the greatest responses that you and I can have when God speaks to us, or when we see something in his word that speaks to us. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel goes, he lays down in that same place where he was, and the Lord came and actually stood calling like he did the other times. And he says, Samuel. And so God gets even more aggressive. He calls him one time, second time, third time, and now we're on the fourth time. And he says it one more time. Look, I'm calling you, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel says what Eli told him. He says, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord says to Samuel, he says, I am about to do something that would make the ears of everybody that would hear it tingle. And out of all the people that God could share that with, what's amazing is he picks a 12-year-old boy. And then after God shares with him what's going to happen, he says, there's going to be a tough time and I'm going to do something and you're going to have to navigate it and continue to lean on me and my word. But the Bible says that Samuel laid down till morning and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He just went back to continue to do what he was doing, to serve in the house of the Lord, because that's the place that God spoke to him. So he was staying close to the last time God spoke to him. And I love how God chooses to speak to Samuel. And out of everybody that he could have located on the planet Earth that night, he decides to speak to a young boy, somebody who's still trying to understand things, maybe didn't have everything all together. And I love that he not only spoke to him, that he spoke to him, and even though Samuel didn't understand it, that he didn't give up on the first time, that God continued to speak. And even though Samuel didn't know how to receive his voice the first time, God didn't give up. He kept coming back. And that helps me in my life. It helps me to understand that there are some times that God speaks to me, you know, things that are bigger than what my mind can understand or what I can envision. Because sometimes when it comes to prayer and hearing the voice of God, we think sometimes that God doesn't want to speak to us. Well, God doesn't want to speak to me. I mean, with my situation and who I am, he doesn't want to speak to me with what's going on in my life. You know, maybe God wants to speak to the spiritual elite, you know, the special top shelf Christians, you know, the super spiritual giants, but he doesn't want to talk to me. And one of the problems that sometimes we have is that we have the habit of comparing ourselves to other people that seem to be so perfect. Because there are so many people that are so much more perfect than I am. And, you know, and I could say, yeah, God wants to talk to those that are perfect, but he doesn't want to talk to me. You know, he knows my struggles. He knows the things that I go through, the situations that I'm in. He knows my shortcomings. He knows that there have been times when I haven't read my Bible like I wanted to, times that I haven't, you know, I had the ebb and flow of life as it relates to, you know, crushing my prayer life or maybe not serving with my whole life. Or, you know, just maybe when I got sidetracked or fell into temptation, he knows that there are some times when maybe I haven't been as generous as I should be. And because God knows all that about us, we've got to be careful that we don't think that we are going to be excluded from hearing God's voice or knowing God's voice because of these things. And what happens is sometimes we find ourselves thinking that God speaks to them, but not to me. But then all of a sudden, I read 1 Samuel chapter 3. And when I read 1 Samuel chapter 3, it actually fills me with hope. And because there I find out that God enjoys speaking to regular people. And sometimes I don't get it exactly right. And sometimes, you know, God enjoys talking to people for the first time. And when they don't obey or they don't do the thing that they need to do or they don't have the right heart, maybe they're just distracted, that God will come back and speak a second time. I like the fact that God will even speak a third time. And I love it that he spoke to Samuel a fourth time. Because, see, that gives me hope. That gives us hope. You know, I wish I was perfect in my hearing and my obedience. I wish I responded correctly 100% of the time. But to be honest, sometimes I don't. And when I read these scriptures, I have to realize that if I can keep a surrendered heart, that during that time, you know, just praying, God, will you help me to hear your voice and to respond to the sound of your voice and to the sound of the Holy Spirit, that as you speak to me, whether it be, you know, during this 21 days or while I read your word or while I worship, that God, I could have a surrendered heart. And even if I'm not sure if it's God or not that's speaking to me, I just love it that he would speak again and again. And so I have to fight those traps and those distractions because I want to live a life where God speaks to me, but also where I can hear him. So I want to give you some ideas just around this. And here are a few ideas just around how to hear God's heart for us. And the first one is this, that a humble heart will actually invite in the voice of God. See, I've learned that reading in this story and all through Scripture, that a humble heart will always help us hear the voice of God. A humble heart will give us fresh ears. And in fact, a humble heart, it's the prepared soil of God's voice. It's that humble heart. It prepares us to hear God's voice. And there's a whole lot of preparation going on when our heart is humble. And I think it's so interesting that God didn't speak through the established hierarchy. He could have spoke to Eli, but Eli had a lot going on. He had some sons not acting right, not living right, and Eli wasn't dealing with it. And so God chose to speak to a young man with a humble heart. My goal in life is I want to be young at heart. I want to be young in my action, young in my worship, young in my faith, young in my serving, in my giving, in every way. I want that humble heart. I don't want to be old as it relates to, you know, God, because, you know, old dogs can't learn new tricks. And so I want a young heart, a humble heart. And you remember when all these little kids came to Jesus and the disciples tried to shoo them off and Jesus said, no. You know, he says, whoa, time out, bring those children to me. And the disciples are correcting the kids, and Jesus turns around and corrects the disciples and says, no, the kingdom of God is like these kids. And unless you become like one of these children, you will not even enter in, or you won't even be able to receive the kingdom of God. So I'm not talking about being childish. I'm talking about being childlike. God wants us to have a childlike heart where we're humble, you know, where we can keep ourselves at a place where we're humble. So we have to be at a place where we can learn from other people. So we don't already know everything. So if you watch me and I say something that challenges you, you know, then you're in the right place. Because if you are watching a preacher and the only thing that they say is things you agree with and they never challenge you, you might actually, you know, be in your own little bubble that just reinforces everything that you already think. So we want to be in a place where we have a humble heart. And if we hear with something that doesn't agree with our current worldview, or maybe, you know, we don't agree with, we've got to ask God, okay, God, is this in the Word? And is this what you want to teach me? And of course, you measure everything against the Word of God. Sometimes we have to have a humble heart. See, I love learning. I don't know everything. I don't want to ever become a professional. You know, we're not professional Christians. We want to constantly be students. We want to be student Christians. Don't be afraid to ask a bunch of questions, to question things that are the established norm. I mean, when you read through the Bible, you could look at that and say, now, wait a minute, this is what I've understood before, but wait a minute, the Word says this. And this is why meetups are so important. We're launching in February, and it's why it's so important, because iron sharpens iron. Because if you just get stuck in your own bubble, then the humility gets to fade off of our heart. And speaking of the Word of God, this is the next thing, is that when you're wanting to hear from God, you also have to understand that every verse is speaking His voice. Did you know that there is so much potential in every single passage of the Bible? Every scripture, it's got potential. But when you mix your faith with that scripture and the potential in that scripture, it actually becomes purpose and truth in your life. See, when you read it, you could say, you know what, I'm going to actually do that. I'm not just going to read it, be a hearer. I'm going to do it. Because every verse speaks His voice, because God loves to speak to us. And always remember this about relationships. This is relationships 101. You can apply this as a spouse, a parent, a friend, or even with God. Relationships are built on communication. The number one way we grow and sustain relationships is through communication. And the number one way that we just establish a relationship with God is daily communication with His Word. We can read His Bible. We can know who He is. We can come to church. We get in the meetups. You know, you just want to be in a place where you're constantly learning and learning God's word, because that is communication with God, and God loves to talk with us. He wants to talk with us, and the word of God is always his voice. You might say, well, I haven't heard the voice of God in a long time. Well, the question is, have you read the voice of God? I mean, there's a whole bunch of it. And so you can get to know what his voice sounds like. And then when he speaks to your heart, you can recognize it. But so many people don't recognize God's voice when he's speaking to their heart because they haven't heard enough of it in the word, in the Bible. I had a guy tell me one time that God spoke to him that he had married the wrong woman, so he needed to divorce her and marry somebody else. Well, obviously, that's the wrong voice, because all you'd have to do is read his voice, and you would know very clearly that that's not the same voice that was in the Bible. And here's the other thing, is that when God does speak through his word into our spirits, we have to value his voice above everything. You see, Samuel did what we talked about last week. He actually eliminated all the competing voices. He was in the temple, and we have to eliminate all the competing voices. And here's what I found out about God, is that God, most of the time, he's not a yeller. He doesn't scream at us. You see, we want God to turn up his voice, but he's actually wanting us to turn down everything else in our lives. A lot of times he speaks in a whisper. In fact, I think that God prefers a whisper, because watch this, a whisper, it actually denotes that he's close. And this is why I think 21 days of prayer and fasting is so important, because we're just gonna say, hey, we're gonna make a decision. We're gonna get close to God so we can hear his voice, because when we're close to him, see, and that's the goal of 21 days, is to come out of it and be closer to him and therefore to his voice. And then after that, here's what we got to do. We've got to share what he says to us. I mean, if you've got a word of encouragement, share it. This is what Samuel did. He shared it. And you know, there's a lot of people that before they hear God's voice, they're going to hear your voice. And you can actually help them hear God's voice. And once again, that's why we go to meetups. That's why, you know, a lot of us, that's why we lead meetups. So maybe during this 21 days, you might get something, and you might say, God's speaking to me, and God could be speaking to you so that you can speak to somebody else who needs to be spoken with. And you may be that person, that bridge from God to them. Why not consider leading a group? Because God may be talking to you so that you can actually mentor somebody else who needs it. That's kind of how it all works. See, God is speaking. He's a talking God. He wants to speak to us. Even with all of our baggage and all of our stuff, he wants to speak to us. And so here's what I hope, is that when this service is over, regardless of what you're going through, all the baggage, all the struggle, maybe even the rejection, the ups and downs, the times when we heard God, the times when we haven't heard, the times when we heard but we just didn't obey, that we still would walk away understanding that God still wants to speak to you. Because God doesn't have a speaking problem. Sometimes we have a hearing problem. You see, as long as you've got another day, there's another opportunity to hear God's voice for the day that's ahead. And look, not only be hearers, but be doers. Which brings me to this. Whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever he says to do, just do it. I heard this about a month ago, and it's not left me since. Watch this. Obedience is God's love language. Yeah, obedience. It's his favorite language. It's when you and I obey. You know, we see something or we hear something or somebody helps us through something, however we receive it. But whenever we know that it's God speaking to us, that we just obey. And look, if you obey or not, it doesn't determine his love for you at all. And yet it's one of the most amazing ways that you can show your love to him. In fact, Jesus says in John 14:15, he makes it super simple. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, look at that. If you love me, just keep my commandments. I mean, it's Jesus's love language. It's God's love language. And what I've found out in my own life is that when I obey God, he releases his destiny for my life. Things begin to unfold. But when I'm disobeying him and I'm pushing away or I'm letting all the other voices drown him out, I found myself confused, you know, trying to figure out things, but obedience will help release the destiny that God has on your life. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it actually ends like this. It talks about his future. In verse 19, it says, "And the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from, you know, just, they just recognized that Samuel was attested, that he was proven, that he was a prophet of the Lord, and his words came true all of his life. Because at a very young age, he made a decision. I'm going to be close. I'm going to be in the right place. And I just want to have a surrendered heart. God, here I am. Use me. What do you need?" And he valued God's voice above everything else. And even though he didn't hear the first time, he didn't say, "Well, that disqualifies me from, you know, knowing God's will. I missed it, and therefore I'm just going to live a life where I miss it all the time." No. What encourages me is that when God spoke to him, and even though he didn't understand the first time, and God didn't give up on him, and he didn't give up on God, and God won't give up on you, because he's still speaking today. No matter what you've been through, the bumps, the bruises, the wounds, God wants to speak to you. And that's what I want you to leave here with today. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much that you love us, and that you love us so much that, and you know us, and you want to speak to us. And so I thank you so much for everything that you are speaking to our hearts. I thank you that you are constantly speaking to our hearts. And God, we just humble our hearts today. And we thank you for your voice that is speaking through your word, for your voice that is speaking, you know, through into our hearts as we humble our hearts to hear your word. And so we just thank you that your life is in us, and that we can tune our ears to be able to hear your voice. We love you so very much, and we thank you for your word, and we open our hearts to your word as hearers. But in addition to that, we not only are hearers, but we are doers. Give us the courage to just humble our hearts to be able to hear your word in this 21 days of prayer and fasting. We love you very much. In Jesus' name.